Good morning, Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. The sounds of disaster on a highway just outside Mexico City, a highway crowded with homebound motorists last night when a 1940s vintage cargo plane loaded with horses crashed in a lightning storm. At least 37 people were killed, nearly all of them in the firestorm on the ground. 5 of the 8 people on the plane are believed to have survived. 15 of the 17 show-jumping horses were also killed. They were being flown to Miami for competition in the U.S. Vincent Chudolsky lives near the crash site.
This plane just suddenly appeared out of nowhere, and he was no more than 100 feet above our house at that. I doubt it was that much. It appeared to be unable to gain altitude, and it went overhead, and within 30 seconds, we heard an explosion. The smoke billowed up from a hill just beyond our house.
Newsman Chris McGreal went to the scene and recounted the last moments of the Boeing 377 cargo plane.
It was in the air less than 2 minutes in driving rain in some of the worst weather we've had in Mexico City in a long time. It came down into an 8-lane highway. It was the height of the rush hour, 5 o'clock in the evening, with cars heading out of Mexico City. Several deaths were caused, apparently, by dozens, literally dozens of cars running into each other trying to escape. The plane broke up into several pieces, caught fire, car fuel went up, people were burnt alive in their cars or crushed. The fire did spread to neighboring homes, to a restaurant. People were trapped in the restaurant.
Mexico City has been inundated by rain for the past week. Hope is fading this morning for 3 sailors missing since a Navy Sea King helicopter crashed yesterday while trying to land on the USS La Salle in the Persian Gulf. One man was killed and 5 others injured. We get more from correspondent Alan Pizzi.
Navy officials declined to identify the land base from which the helicopter had flown, but the La Salle and other ships in the task force use the island of Bahrain as a staging point. Gulf Arab states are reluctant to give official bases to the U.S. or be openly associated with American operations for fear of Iranian reprisals. The Navy said the La Salle and the USS Kidd, which was operating near it, were not engaged in mine-clearing operations at the time of the accident. The Kidd was part of the 3-ship escort that convoyed 2 U.S.-flagged Kuwaiti tankers through the Gulf a week ago. It is not anticipated that the helicopter accident will affect the return convoy, which won't start for several more days. Alan Pizzi, CBS News, Kuwait.
After years of frustration in trying to get Congress to outlaw federal funding for abortions, President Reagan has now used his rulemaking powers to restrict such spending by government-funded family planning clinics. Correspondent Bob Schieffer reports.
The administration invited a group of anti-abortion activists in to hear the president say what they had been urging for years, that federal funds to family planning clinics will be cut off unless the clinics stop telling women that abortion is an option when unwanted pregnancy occurs.
The coexistence of abortion with federally supported family planning services fosters the view that abortion is an acceptable and government-sanctioned method of family planning.
On Capitol Hill, where hearings on funding for the clinics began yesterday, Democrat Edward Kennedy brushed off the president's plan as grandstanding.
We should, I believe, ignore these distractions and get on the work of public health.
Although the president's plan got high marks from abortion foes who gathered at the White House yesterday, those on the other side of the issue are already preparing lawsuits, so the whole issue is expected to be tied up in the courts for several months at least. Bob Schieffer, CBS News, Washington.
The nation's most photographed nose faces minor surgery today, Jacqueline Adams reports.
President Reagan this afternoon goes to Bethesda Naval Hospital for a minor operation to remove any and all cancerous cells from the tip of his nose. On Wednesday, his doctor took a shaving from the site, and the biopsy revealed the presence of basal cell carcinoma, a common and rarely dangerous form of cancer. Today, doctors will remove a deeper, wider patch of skin. The president says he feels fine, his doctors agree he's in excellent health, and he's even joked with reporters about his condition. But his aides say the president is keenly aware of the impact his medical problems have on other Americans.
This is just a small billboard that says, it's a reminder that says, stay out of the sun.
If all goes well, Mr. Reagan should be back in the White House this evening. Jacqueline Adams, CBS News, the White House.
A chance scientific observation of the germ-killing properties of a frog's skin has led to the creation of a powerful new type of antibiotic. The discovery was announced by Dr. Michael Zasloff of the National Institute of Child Health, who says the natural frog chemicals and their easily manufactured artificial equivalents can swiftly kill a wide variety of bacteria, fungi, and other microbes.
We are testing them against viruses at the present time, and we are testing them against certain types of malignant cells.
Test on humans could begin in a few months. The Iran-Contra committees today question the final witness scheduled to appear in public, Defense Secretary Caspar Weinberger. But first, they'll complete the testimony of former White House Chief of Staff Donald Regan. Rita Braver reports.
When Donald Regan was White House Chief of Staff, he was often described as gruff and arrogant, but his straightforward style at the hearing seemed to charm the committees. For example, when Regan was asked about Iran's failure to release hostages after receiving U.S. TOW missiles.
It was a bait and switch.
Regan tried to defend the Iran Arms Initiative as a wedge to open relations with Iranian moderates. But in an exchange with Maine Senator William Cohen, there were admissions Regan couldn't avoid.
As a matter of fact, were it not for the hostage issue, you would agree it's rather unlikely that the president ever would have agreed to sell weapons to the Iranians.
Oh, I don't think he would ever have agreed bona fides or what have you.
But if Ronald Reagan was described as in favor of the arms deal, the reaction was something else when he learned that profits from the sales were diverted to the Contras.
He looked like a guy that really been punched in the stomach.
By the end of the day, Donald Reagan became hoarse and had to quit. Rita Braver, CBS News, Washington.
Retired General John Vesey is in Bangkok on his way to 3 days of important talks in Vietnam as President Reagan's envoy on the MIA issue. Rick Fredrickson reports.
Vesey is expected to meet with Vietnam's foreign minister, Nguyen Co Thach, in what could be tense meetings aimed at resuming the search for America's war dead. Progress in accounting for the missing servicemen has been disappointing. There are nearly 1,800 MIAs in Vietnam. Only 25 remains have been brought home in the past year and a half. Hanoi has said humanitarian issues cannot be a one-way street. The Vietnamese will press the Americans to help Vietnam with its own post-war humanitarian issues. Neither side has expressed encouragement over the coming face-to-face talks. Rick Fredrickson for CBS News, Bangkok.
Israeli Prime Minister Shamir has asked Egypt's President Mubarak to host direct peace talks between Israel and Jordan. Shamir, unlike his foreign minister Shimon Peres, prefers direct talks to a proposed international peace conference. The dollar is lower today, the price of gold is up $4, and on Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Industrial Average is up 5.58. It's 7:10.